Hey everybody, this is Derek King with the Derek King Sports Show. We all know how important it is to stay protected. Sometimes life throws you a curve, and that's why you need Allstate. The Wiley Group has two locations in Festus and Arnold to serve you. They offer home, auto, boat, motorcycle, business, life insurance, investments, and so much more. They offer a customized approach that is unique to your situation to make sure that you, your family, and assets are properly protected. They also offer great rates and savings. Give Sean and his team a call today at 636-764-6294. They'll help you with an insurance quote right over the phone. Even give them a call if you just want to talk sports. They do that too. We all have busy lives, so you can also email Sean at SeanWiley@allstate.com and talk to him about your coverage options. And remember, you're in good hands with Allstate.
Welcome to Yakker Jack
with Brian Swope.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Part of the Gateway City Sports Podcast Network.
Hey guys, welcome back to Yakker Jacks. This is Brian Swope, your host, Papa Swope on Twitter. So good to have you guys here. I'm going to keep this short and sweet, guys, because this week I am, to be honest with you, I am feeling under the weather, really sick. And so I wanted to still get out an episode this week. So I'm going to go ahead and just real quickly remind you guys, go over to GatewayCitySports.com. Check out all of our stuff over there. And I want you to check out also the other shows that we've got going on over there. We've got 2 for 3. We've got Team of Rivals podcast. And, of course, the Derek King Sports Show live every Wednesday. And just get over there and get the info you need on St. Louis sports, because we, again, we're by fans, for fans, and we're here for you. We do this for you guys. And so I don't want to take up too much time because, again, like I said, guys, I am so sick. But I had a great guest today, and we recorded earlier. So I'm going to go ahead and I am going to turn it over, and we will get it going. So let's welcome our guest. It's time now for the Holy Smokers guest line. When it's time to add a little spice to your life, make your next grilling adventure a spiritual experience with the Holy Smokers Rub Company. They have several different flavors to choose from, and each one is specially blended for a taste sensation that you will pray never ends. The best part is, all proceeds go towards helping families who are going through the process of adopting a child. So look them up on Facebook. Be sure to use coupon code GCS10, that's GCS, the number 10, for 10% off your order. Holy Smokers Rub Company, bless your taste buds. I am excited to welcome on to our guest line my good friend, Derek King of Derek King Sports. Derek, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, my man. How about you?
Doing all right. You know, little under the weather, but you know what? We'll get through it. We'll get through it.
Well, good deal. Yeah, we will. We will, definitely.
So I wanted to have you on tonight, Derek, because there's a lot going on. The biggest news, which you know, kind of came out within the past week, was that the Rams settled with the city of St. Louis for $790 million. And the reason I want to especially talk about this is because, one, I think that it was a shock that they settled to begin with, and that they settled for so little. And in my mind, it was way less than what they would have gotten had they gone to trial. And to me, it seems like they had the tiger by the tail, and instead they just let it go. It's like if the people you're fighting against are getting ready to surrender, and then you just lay down your arms. You know, to me, it was like the equivalent of the United States not dropping that second nuclear bomb in World War II. I mean, the legal equivalent of that, if you will. So what are your thoughts on that, Derek? And where do you think this all came from?
Well, I mean, shock is really, I mean, to be honest with you, that's the best way to describe it. I mean, I've got multiple different four-letter curse words to probably describe it, but I won't go there. Yeah, shocked. I mean, inside information, you know, things that I knew from talking with people in the league of how scared the NFL was of this situation, you know, how they were looking at multiple different factors of that. Okay, well, if this thing does go to court, you know, if we get to a stage where we're going to have to really throw some big meat at this thing and try to solve this problem, what's that going to look like? And again, I was told by multiple people, I don't care what anybody on St. Louis radio says, what any platform or some bozo that had a paper column for 20 years or whatever, they say that, oh, well, there was never an expansion team was never part of the deal. They're not wrong, but they're not right. And that's the problem, is that we continue to hear this same just regurgitation out of the St. Louis media. Here we go again. Let's, you know, in the famous words of producer Gene, turd polishing at its finest. Yeah. Let's take something that's absolute garbage that shouldn't have happened, and let's just put a good polish on it. So before we get too deep down that rabbit hole, the one thing that I want to address, and this goes to all of the amazing football fans in the St. Louis market who have listened to me or read my work or paid attention to the things that I've done over the last, what's it been, 3 years.
Yeah, you've put in a lot of work on this. And you were really the first one. You kind of spearheaded this whole thing and kind of got to the bottom of it before any of those, you know, legacy media guys that you speak of, before any of them were in on it, you were.
Right. And I don't, you know, they never gave me the courtesy of a shout out. I don't want to ever give them the courtesy of a shout out. I know there's some certain particular people I don't have personal problems with. I have professional problems with some of them and how they've handled this situation, how they continue to handle this situation. And my concern with it is that now we've gotten out of this phase of, okay, the settlement was $790 million. And let's be clear about something. Prior to, I believe it was today, it might have been late yesterday, the announcement came across that Stan Kroenke has agreed to pay the full $790 million. That was really up in the air of whether or not that was actually going to happen, because Stan Kroenke had threatened the league in a memorandum that was private and confidential that was leaked by owners to the media, that he could feel like he could get this thing settled between $550 and $750 million. They were so just taken aback by the audacity that Eno Stanley Kroenke had to basically threaten them to say, okay, hey, if you don't want to play ball with me and pick up the tab on this thing, I'm going to go settle this thing for, you know, between $550 and $750 million, and then I'm going to leave you guys swinging in the wind. Well, guess what happened? The NFL said, no, not so fast. And they sent their head legal counsel in. Is it Jeremy Pash? Jeffrey? I think it's Jeffrey Pash. It's Pash. That's all I know. And he's their lead attorney. They sent him in. They went to, I believe it was Chesterfield or Crestwood. I can't remember where it was they went to. They went to a local law firm, neutral site. They had a mediator come in. They needed $790 million is no, by no means is it chump change. I know there's a lot of people that are caught up in, well, the lawyers get $250 million plus, and that's just unreasonable. Listen, they took this on a contingency. They haven't been paid a cent for over 4 years or near 4 years or so that they've been doing work on this. They've earned it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm gonna let the big dog eat on that one. And so all of the people who want to attack the counselors and the people who've done the legwork, did all of the digging, did all the investigative work, had to deal with these slime balls in the NFL, because we know they are, and especially with the Rams, that they've earned it by far. Now, the question remains is the remainder of that, that was approximately about 550-ish million, we'll just throw that number out there, that's still got to be divvied up between the city, county, and what, the RSA or the CBC or whatever the heck it's called now at this point in time. Don't even really know. All I know is, like, the three main people who are going to be making the decisions on this are Mayor Tashara Jones, County Executive Dr. Sam Page, and Katie Ratcliffe. Those are the people that are going to be making the decisions on this. Now, we could go down a rabbit hole about, and we probably will, about oversight and where this money gets spent. But just to stay on course with the settlement, this thing was settled prematurely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. If it's just that, if it's just a number, it was settled prematurely. I have a belief that in this particular type of situation, because of the strange number that it is, being of the fact the NFL owners leaked that memorandum of Stan Kroenke, that they were so just like, he's, you know, now not only is he persona non grata in St. Louis in this market, but he's persona non grata now with the other 31 NFL owners, or at least 30 of them, because we know Jerry Jones is making some scratch on the side off of Stan Kroenke. So there's a, you know, it's not as good as a relationship as it once was, but we're definitely in a different world now, in a different place.
Well, and that's now, what I wanted to ask you too, because when you look at it, you know, as premature as it was and as light as the settlement was, it makes me wonder if there isn't something else going on, you know, behind the scenes, whether there was another kind of a backdoor deal maybe that was made that isn't public yet.
Possible.
Do you get that sense from this? Or?
I do get that. I get that feeling. And again, anybody that's out there listening to this, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people listening to it because people are just clamoring for this information now. And I have literally been off the radar prior to the Thanksgiving holiday and leading up through this, because it's such a big, you know, couple weeks for me. I've got my son's birthday at the end of November. I've got, you know, Turkey Day that comes up, and that's a whole week of, you know, family coming in from out of town, everything. My house is a disaster, people running around like crazy. Then I have my wife's birthday that comes up. I, you know, it's just the whole month of November, I've got, I think, four or five birthdays. It's four for sure, you know, and then the holidays. So I was just off the reservation when it came to doing a show and talking about this when people have been hearing about it so much. So there are a lot of people are waiting to hear these things. So I want to preface it by saying this is not a legitimate report. This is just at this point hypothesizing. We're just spitballing here, and that's all that it is. Based off of the number, that's 790. It's such a strange number, isn't it? It's such an odd number to come to. Why not be at 750? Why not be at 775? Why not be at 8? Yeah. Why 790?
Yeah, it's an odd number.
It's jokingly a jab at Jeff Fisher for 7-9, all those 7-9 years in St. Louis. I mean, I get it. It's a 7-9. You know, I get it. But the concern for me is that I've seen one too many of these cases to where at the end of them, when you settle, there can be what's called, or what you just brought up, is a backroom deal, where you have counsels that go in, they talk amongst one another, and they say, okay, hey, listen, here's the deal. We're going to $790 million. This is what we're going to do. Do us a solid and take that. Because St. Louis could have been saying, no, we want $1 billion. Yeah. We want the money.
Yeah, or they could have taken it all the way to trial.
We're taking this thing to trial. Come on, give us the money. And the NFL could have came in and said, listen, Stan is not on our top favorites list right now, okay? He's in big trouble with everybody. We're not happy that he's doing what he's doing with us. So, in the, again, hypothetical here, we're just playing through this thing, running through the weeds. They could have said, listen, we don't want to expand right now. Here's the reason why we don't want to expand right now. We're looking at other things. Now, what we can do is that we've got several teams, it might be three, four, or five teams. I've looked at a few, just say three off the top of my head, that could be coming up on a relocation here in the next 5 years. So they probably could have posed it like that to say, hey, listen, we're going to give you $790 million. What you do with that $790 million is up to you. But just to make you a suggestion, you might want to invest it in upgrading the facilities at Dome or whatever, so that way another team could potentially come in here at some point in time in the future. We won't blacklist you. We will legitimately look at you for a future site for a franchise. We need to get this thing settled. We need to get it out of the way. And the reason that they settled for that number, I think, and this is, again, just my personal opinion on it, I think that the reason that they settled at 790 was because Stan Kroenke said his ceiling was 750. And I think that the NFL looked at it and goes, okay, we can't settle for 750. St. Louis isn't going to take that. Where do we need to be to get this thing settled with them without Kroenke? Because they settled this. The NFL settled this. This wasn't Kroenke. This was the NFL that came in and settled this.
Yeah. And you make an interesting point there, too, about upgrading the facilities. I can't remember where I read it, but I do remember reading a news report that said that the city actually is looking into, you know, refurbishing some of, you know, the convention center and doing some upgrades there. It's a great hypothesis. You know, in theory, it makes sense. But I have to think, because, you know, the city, they had the NFL dead to rights. And the onus was on the league to settle. St. Louis could have done, you know, so much more if they wanted to. But the fact that they settled, it tells me that there's got to be something more to this. Because there's no way you walk away potentially from billions of dollars for the city to, you know, just under 800 million. Or 800 billion, I mean. No, it is just under. Good grief. I'm having trouble thinking tonight because I'm so sick. But just under $800 million. Like, why settle that when, you know, billions were on the table? Like, they literally left, you know, possibly billions on the table. It makes me think there's got to be something else more to it that we're not seeing.
Well, the amazing Daniel Wallach, who's done yeoman's work on the legal side of this thing and has really just, you know, they hosted that town hall. I was a part of that along with several others in sports media in St. Louis and people who really know some things that are going on and so forth. And that's great. But it, again, talking with people in the NFL, not in the St. Louis market, I need to, you know, reiterate again, and especially multiple times I've said this, if you want to do real investigative work, if you really want to find out what's going on, you have to go outside of your market. You cannot stay in the Homer state, you know, that you just can't do that. You have to, when we talk Cardinals baseball, and you talk a lot of Cardinals baseball, you're a big baseball guy. So am I. I love baseball. But we have to go outside of that St. Louis Cardinal fandom to find the real stories and what's really going on. And in this case, I think that's really the situation, and what has happened and has occurred is that there needs to be a bigger emphasis on going outside of the city of St. Louis to find out the truth, because the reality of it now, and we'll get into the turd polishing, if you will, aspect of it. Now it's become political, and that's the sad part of it now.
Yeah.
Because now you've got people in the media who have political bias. They don't want to say it. They'll never admit it. You know, they'll never. Oh, on air. Well, I don't have any political bias. That's a load of crap. You do have political bias. It's been proven that you have political bias. It's been pointed to that direction that you have a political bias. And for you to protect certain particular people, and I'm not talking about political bias when it comes to an R or a D. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about political bias of certain political figures in the St. Louis political scene that you are buddies with, that you're friends with, that you have a direct connection to, you have a direct line to the mayor's office, you have a direct line to the city county executive or the county executive's office, you have a direct line to certain things. The one thing that really showed me during this whole process that there was clearly a malfunction at the junction in where this information was going back and forth, as to where we started seeing on local news, and I don't know if this was on purpose or by mistake, I think it was probably just by mistake, that they had started interviewing council people within the city, and so, like, what's going on here? We don't know what's happening. We don't know what, if there's a deal, we don't know what's going on. Nobody's telling us anything. And I believe he's the president, the council president in the city of St. Louis, Louis Reed. He's been around forever in politics in St. Louis. And I don't agree with Louis Reed a lot, but this is the one thing that I did fully 100% agree with Louis Reed on. Why didn't we get both?
Right.
Not only could we have had hundreds of millions of dollars, but we could have had a team too. Why didn't we get both?
Yeah.
Let's go back in time and let's really dig into this. Let's do the real investigative reporting that people at the Post-Dispatch or people at the bigger entities, the 101 ESPNs, the 590s, that they don't want to do, because they don't want to talk about the 10,000-pound polka-dotted pink elephant in the room.
Right.
They don't want to discuss that man behind the curtain. Let's be clear. Mayor Tashara Jones is no fan of sports at all. And she has made it very clear. Her father, I'll just reference him as Mr. Jones. Everyone knows who Mr. Jones is. Mr. 99 problems, but an NFL stadium ain't one. 99 problems, but the NBA ain't one. 99 problems, if I remember correctly, but the MLS is not one. And let us not forget of how certain people in St. Louis media really, really pump up the MLS in St. Louis and St. Louis City SC, which, mind you, you can look behind me
because we're seeing it right now. Yeah.
Video feed. You could see my St. Louis City SC banner. You could see my St. Louis City SC scarf back there. Ron jokingly calls me the St. Louis City SC rabbi for, you know, because I put that scarf on and I've got the big beard and everything. So it just kind of looks that way. But the fact of the matter is I am a fan. Yeah. But I'm also not a homer. And I know when certain particular people in the media are trying to shove an agenda down my throat as a listener, as a viewer, as a reader. And whenever I read articles in an op-ed piece or in a quote unquote investigative piece, and I use that term loosely, where they're clearly trying to protect certain particular people in politics, or they're trying to clearly protect certain particular types of entities within St. Louis. This is the problem. This is, you know, again, that everybody bellyaches about St. Louis getting in St. Louis's way. Here we go again.
Yeah.
360 degrees, 180 degrees. It doesn't matter. You turn around, there's St. Louis again doing St. Louis things. And here we are again. The greedy fingers, the sticky fingers are tacking and making noise, because here we go with them bleeding money out of constituents, bleeding money out of other things. And I don't want to get into too much of a rant, but this just shows the people of St. Louis and the city and the county, so on and so forth, and surrounding areas, that these people care very little about your wants, needs, your desires. They only care about the numbers, because let's not forget Tashara Jones was a treasurer. That's what she did. She glorified bean counter. That's now the mayor of the city of St. Louis. Unfortunately, I don't know if there was a much better option at the time. I liked Kara Spencer. I thought she was a terribly nice person, but I don't know how much she actually knew about the sports scene. I know that she knew a lot about social programs and different things within how government operates and things of that nature, which is all good and well. But as steeped as this market is in football, baseball, hockey, even just look back in history.
Yeah.
Basketball, the ABA.
Yeah.
You know, the early parts of the NBA with the Hawks and the Spirits and so on and so forth. And we could go on and on and on and talk about the rich lineage and the rich history. The thing is that this is what I think from my perspective. I think that they feel like, okay, we have to kill the love of football in this market. And it's going to take us a generation to do it.
And it's not going to happen. It's not going to. I mean, and even the Battlehawks are a perfect example. You're not going to kill football in this city.
No, because it just keeps coming back. It's like a revolution.
Yeah.
You know, as Tommy Lee Jones' character from Under Siege had said, this is a revolution. It keeps coming back in your face.
And the thing that they don't realize, and you know, shame on them if they don't, and I'm not going to try to force you to name drop because that's not what we're about, but the thing that it tells me that they don't recognize is that, especially in this day and age, with all that we went through with COVID, with all of, you know, the turmoil and division that has happened in the city of St. Louis specifically, sports brings people together. It brings people together in a way that few things can. And having grown up in the city of St. Louis, I love the city of St. Louis. Anybody who is from St. Louis, whether they still live there or they moved away, has an enormous sense of pride in that city. And what they did, to me, what they did by settling in this way and not leaving that without going and getting, you know, like you said, both, I think what they did was they ripped a piece of the heart out of the people of the city. You know, and there was, it was there. There was something else that the city itself could have rallied around, and they left it laying there like a dead dog.
You know, I mean, you absolutely hit the nail on the head with that one. I mean, there's not really a whole lot else to say than that. You know, when you have something that is as visceral and primal as sports in this market, where people rally behind it, no matter what your political affiliation is, no matter what you believe. I have been labeled as, you know, people think, oh, he's a Democrat. Oh, he's a Republican. Or, oh, he's, nobody knows. They don't know. They don't know. And I don't care, because it's about right and it's about wrong. It's not about left or right or red or blue. It's not about any of that. It's about doing what's best for the city of St. Louis. And unfortunately, the city and the county, let me make it fair, the city and the county of St. Louis. Listen, you're talking to someone who spent a lot of time in the city of St. Louis, a lot of time. I went, and I could have went anywhere to do my education and do my couple of years. And what did I do? I went to Rankin.
Yeah.
I went to Rankin. Up there, just off of Del Mar, right off of Taylor, right up there in the north part of the city. That's where I went to school. That's where I did my 2 years. And anybody that wants to accuse me of not wanting the best for the city, there's been, again, we don't name drop around here because we're professionals. And, you know, there's some people that are terribly unprofessional in the so-called professional world of media and sports media that have gotten so close to actually name dropping that it's absurd. But there's one particular person that I have in mind, and I always debate about dropping this individual's name, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because I don't want to be accused of picking on anybody. So, you know,
whether they deserve it or not,
I don't want to know if they want to go and cry to somebody, because that's usually what they do. Every single time I pick on them, they go and they cry on social media. They go cry somewhere about it. But the fact of the matter is, I'll put it to you this way. I've heard this person on radio. And I've heard him on radio, and I've heard him on radio a lot. I've listened to this person quite a bit. And the audacity that they have to accuse people like me, and people like Daniel Wallach, Dan Lust, Mike Florio, people who are just trying to get to the bottom of a story, and we are getting information from league sources, people within the league, things that are outside of this Homer bubble that's in the St. Louis market, to try to get real information. Listen, whenever, I don't care what people hear on the radio or see on TV. You're listening to my voice right now. Let me make something very clear. A team was going to be on the table. A team was essentially going to be a portion of an offer. They were looking at everything to get St. Louis off their back. That St. Louis had them, as Mike Florio had said in one of his fantastic articles over on Pro Football Talk. I actually give people credit where credit is due. That's why I mention their names. That's why I'm in their articles. That's why I mention where they come from. Because when you go to school and you actually do a college level writing, you know, and everything else, you're taught to properly source your information. But Mike Florio had an amazing piece. He said that they had St. Louis had the tiger by the tail, and they did. I've heard other more colorful descriptions of what they had them by.
Yep.
But we'll just leave it at that. But it's, to me, it's upsetting whenever I hear this particular person label people like myself and Dan Wallach and Dan Lust and Mike Florio and several others, so many others, as grifters. That we're these people that are going out just trying to get site clicks. Just trying to get site clicks? Okay.
Yeah, but whose reporting was right?
Has anybody gone over to GatewayCitySports.com? Do you see any ads on there outside of the paid-for ads that we actually have by sponsors that actually pay us? We don't get paid for the clicks. We don't get paid for that stuff. We don't want that. We don't put you behind a paywall like the St. Louis Post-Dispatch when they have a hot article, or the New York Times, or the LA Times, whatever newspaper or news organization puts you behind a paywall when you've got that hot article that everybody wants to read. Oh, all you got to do is pay us 99 cents and you have 6 months worth of access, because they know people aren't going to come back. Yeah. You know, the reality is they get their buck and they move on. I might as well just, hey, Shirley, I'm going to go down to the corner and get me a paper. You know, it's just, that's what I'm, you might as well be doing that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, for anybody listening to this, you know, it's something that I've not really, you know, made known on this podcast. But, you know, I say it all the time. You know, we are by fans for fans. You know, all of us who are doing this, especially for Gateway City Sports, I can speak specifically to GatewayCitySports.com. We do what we do because we love it. You know, we love it, and we put our own time, energy, effort, and money into this because we love it and because we want to be there for the St. Louis sports fan. And so it honestly hurts my feelings when anybody says, you know, that we're just a clickbait site, because we're not. You know, I know the people personally who are behind this stuff. You're behind it. I'm behind it. Gene, Ron, all the other great writers that we have, you know, they're pouring their passion into this every single day. And so for people to say that about us in particular, it drives me crazy. It drives me crazy because they don't know. And I don't think they realize, you know, that this is more than just some simple, you know, clickbait site, that this is something that has a passionate following because it has passionate people behind it.
I know we get off kind of on a tangent sometimes with some of the stuff, but again, passion. And we talk about the passion that we have for this business and the passion that we have for getting fans the real stories, for getting the behind-the-scenes stuff, or maybe the more intuitive stuff that we have, that we put out there. The one thing that really upset me was the labeling of us being grifters, that we need clicks and we need all this attention, and they're just trying to get more followers on their social media accounts. Let me tell you something. To this particular person, maybe they're listening, maybe they're not. You're a hack. You've been a hack. That's why you've been fired from half of the radio stations in St. Louis. You're a hack. You're a joke. You always have been. And the fact that the rumor's gotten around that you're a joke, you've always been a joke, and you will continue to be a joke. That's just, I'm going to call you out right here, right now. And I don't really give a damn, to be frank, what anybody thinks about it. Because when you attack my friends and people that I care about deeply and that I respect the hell out of, like Mr. Brian Swope being one of them, You know, that I take, as Michael Jordan once said, I took it personally. And I do take it personally, because you can call me everything you want. And this person has. This person has called me names on social media and has attacked me and other fans as brainless, spineless, no dignity, so on and so forth. And so with that in mind, I want to stress to people, I'm not telling you to do. Listen to who you want to and read what you want to read. That's your prerogative. But if I were you, I would be finding a different station to tune into, because I don't tolerate that. I won't tolerate it. And when they want to attack and they want to label you the fan and see, like, what's the one thing we do at Gateway City Sports, Brian? What's the one thing that we find the most pride in and that we take the most pride in, is that we have some of the best and highest intelligent fans in sports in this market. We do. We have some of the best and greatest minds that are fans. And there's a reason they call St. Louis market the best fans in baseball. There's a reason for that, because we understand the game at a different level.
Yeah,
that's a fact. And absolutely. When people want to come on the radio or they want to go on television and they want to label whoever's listening out there, but you, the poor, pitiful listener. Oh, shucks. You innocent little dummy. Like, you just don't know any better. Yep. You're just a poor little innocent lamb that's just being led to slaughter by these grifters. They're all out there and they're just trying to get the clicks. That's all they're trying to do. They're just trying to get you. Well, let me tell you something. The biggest grifters that are out there are the people that I'm referring to.
Yeah.
Those are the biggest liars and the cheats and the cons and the thieves. Whenever they come out there and they shake a stick at you and they tell you how they were right the whole time, or they try to allude that they, oh yeah, well no, I've admitted that whenever I've been wrong. Well, no, you haven't, because I remember listening to you on the radio back in 2013, back in 2012, back in 2011, back in 2010. I remember all year in 2014. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I talk with sources directly with the Rams and everything. In the NFL, they're on the 2-yard line. They're getting ready to punch this thing in, and the Rams are going to stay here because they can't go anywhere. They can't evade the relocation guidelines. It's just, this is over. Was it?
Nope.
How wrong were they?
Completely wrong.
And yet they wanted to complain and bellyache and cry about how, oh, well, we were misled. We were lied to. Well, no kidding.
And not only really? That. Not only that, you chose to ignore
them off at Stan Kroenke, who wanted out of this market. You were lied to? Oh. But I think the smoking gun during that came out of depositions and that came out of all of the stuff that we have found out was just how closely involved the NFL was in the process. But you also got to remember, too, that the NFL was being fed this information by Kevin Demoff and Stan Kroenke. And they were being told, hey, listen, this is not a good market. It's a crappy market and there's crappy fans in it. They're no good, and we ain't making any money, and we're starving out here, and you need to trump up all of these accusations. They create all of these, different portfolios and come up with these plans and say, Kevin Demoff going, and remind you, this is during the whole Ferguson riots and everything else that's kind of going on during that time period with the Michael Brown shooting. And we're all, kind of on, an edge about that entire situation. Anybody that's, that was following it. And they use that as cannon fodder.
Yeah.
That shows you the level that the Rams, Stan Kroenke and Kevin Demoff and their associates, that they had stooped to get what they wanted.
Yeah, it tells you exactly the kind of people that you're dealing with,
Right. And even with John Mara coming out during that entire process, and I'll finish this and I'll let you have your thought. John Mara, when he had discussed this under deposition, was just like, listen, well, I don't know if he said this in deposition. He definitely said this in the Seth Wickersham article, which was, listen, had we had known all of this, we wouldn't have let him move.
Right.
Full stop.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have let him move. Why is it that the Carson site was approved 5-1, 5-2? I can't even remember now at this point. But it was basically a landslide victory for the Carson project over the Rams project. And then all of a sudden, whoop, we have a secret meeting and everything goes haywire. Well, there's a reason for that. And that's because Stan Kroenke signed the indemnification agreement. And they knew that the other owners knew that we really don't have much of a leg to stand on. If this guy wants to do it, he could just kind of do it, do whatever he wants. And then we're going to be stuck here holding the pieces. So, hey, if he's going to sign this indemnification agreement, we know what he's doing is wrong. And we know what he's doing is icky. But, hey, if he's going to sign it, and he's going to take on all the liable responsibility for this move, then, you know, by all means, let him move.
Yeah.
So I don't put everything at the foot of the NFL at their doorstep, but I do put quite a bit of it there.
Well, and that's exactly where it belongs. So at the sake of letting this turn into a counseling session, let's pivot, because I don't have a whole lot of time, and there was something I definitely wanted to...
Sure, yeah, let's get after it.
Yeah, I wanted to get to something else real quick, and that is that here in just under 3 hours, the MLB collective bargaining agreement is going to expire. And it seemed crazy to me that we've seen this flurry of moves. And what it looks like to me is it looks like a lot of players are really scared about what's going to come out of this, because you're seeing guys sign so quickly and just in rapid fire succession, you know, these big free agent names coming off the board. Man, I think we're looking at a lengthy lockout.
I think we are too. And it's unfortunate because it boggles the mind that you throw a 3-year, $43 million AAV at a guy who's 38 years old and admittedly was wore out by the end of the year.
The Mets are paying Max Scherzer more than the Cleveland Guardians opening day payroll as of right now.
Right. Yeah, insane. They're paying him more than what the Tampa Bay, wasn't it the Tampa Bay Rays, what their entire payroll was for the year they went to the World Series?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, that's going to take you back for a second and then just think about it. You know, and people are bellyaching about the Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals pretty much perennially spend anywhere from between 145 to 165 million on payroll every single year.
For being a mid-market team, they're always in the top 10 in the league in expenditures.
That's still grossly above. I mean, you just pointed out the Cleveland Guardians, well, formerly the Indians, but the Cleveland Guardians in their situation, $45 million. You know, we've seen these other teams. The fact of the matter is, in this CBA, there needs to be a net ceiling and there needs to be a net floor. And teams need to be expected to be in that band as far as the salary cap is concerned. I call it more salary control or monetary control of these teams, that they have to fit into these criteria so that way they can't just legitimately tank. They can't just go out and get a bunch of minor leaguers and pay minor league salaries, you know, a la Major League, the movie type of situation. You just can't do that. And so, pardon me. So there should be some regulation from Major League Baseball when it comes to how these teams are handling these situations with the CBA. But I don't know if this thing's going to get solved. So I highly doubt that it's going to get solved soon. They're definitely going to go into a lockout. I think it's probably going to take anywhere from, you know, a couple of weeks to probably a couple of months. I mean, I firmly believe it'll get settled before the beginning of spring training. I firmly believe that. I firmly believe it'll probably get settled before that, because teams still want a little bit of time to round out their rosters and, you know, bring guys up, send guys down, move things over, maybe sign a few other free agents, because it doesn't look like Trevor Story is going to get signed before the free agency deadline. There's several others that are still out there that are going to be left kind of in the lurch, so to speak, when it comes to this free agency deadline of this, the CBA deadline, I should say. So, yeah, it's not looking too good.
No, it's not. Well, hey, we're just about out of time, so I want to thank Derek for coming on. Make sure that you guys check him out. Check out the Derek King Sports Show. It goes live every Wednesday morning. And Derek, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Derek King Sports over there on Twitter. You can find we've got several pages over on Facebook. We've got Gateway City Sports main page. We have the fan page, which is always a lot of fun to go over because we share lots of different stuff on the fan page. When it comes to the main page, that's just articles and stuff related to Gateway City Sports. But I always tell people to make sure that you follow that because that's where we put out all the important announcements when new articles and so on are dropping. So you can find all of that stuff on social between Gateway City Sports, myself, Derek King Sports. But the one thing that I will ask everybody out there to do that's listening to this, if you haven't done it yet, please go over to gatewaycitysports.com and make sure that you sign up for the page over there so that way you get updates whenever new articles drop. And you can always turn those notifications off too as well if you do not want them. You can turn those off as soon as you want, if you want to do that. But just to make sure, make sure you go over there and add that on too.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Derek. Appreciate having you on always. And hopefully we'll be able to get into some more of the CBA stuff later on and as talks progress and things get moving. But until then, brother, it's good to have you on, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Great to see you too as well.
Again, I just want to give a shout out to my friend, Derek King. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, Derek. And thank you all for joining as well and being a part of this. I'm sorry that I am just beat to heck with whatever this bug is that I've got. But anyway, thank you again for being a part of this. And you are the ones that make this happen. You're the reason that we do this. You're the reason that I do this. So those of you that are out there listening, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Have a great week. Be good, be blessed, and we'll see you next week.